Last weekend at the Brooklyn Bridge Marriott in New York City, 23-year-old crossword puzzle phenom Tyler Hinman bested solvers from around the country to win the American Crossword Puzzle Tournament for the fourth straight year. Among his competitors was Brooklyn's own Stella Daly. On the Media producer Mike Volo followed Daly to the tournament in 2006 and came back with this report. Mike knows whereof he speaks. He is himself an avid crossword solver and even a constructor, someone who writes puzzles.
It's true. So I could empathize with contestant Stella Daly, who in the lead up to the tournament was struggling for equilibrium.
I won't say I'll be disappointed if I don't win, but I think I would be a little bit disappointed in myself.
Daly happened upon crossword puzzles back in 1998 while a junior at Princeton University. She wasn't a speed solver back then. It would take her an entire day to finish the New York Times Sunday crossword, and just finishing it was enough. Then in 2001, Daly stumbled on a website for the tournament. She had gotten faster by then, a lot faster. So she thought,
hey, this is great, a crossword tournament, I should go. And of course they have on the website a puzzle from the tournament, and they say, if you can solve this in under 15 minutes, you'd be competitive at the tournament, and if you solve it in under 10 minutes, that's excellent. So I solved it in like 9:45, and I thought I was the bomb, and I was going to go and do great.
What Daly didn't realize is that 15 minutes would be no gauge of greatness at the tournament. In fact, for some rounds, 15 minutes is all you get.
In order to be competitive, as in the top 10 at the tournament, you better solve that puzzle in 3 to 4 minutes. So I was completely embarrassed. My first finish was 220th out of 330, and I'm a really competitive person, and I was really pissed off by that. So I decided that was never going to happen to me again.
Daly started solving the New York Times puzzle every day, and the following year at the tournament, she placed in the 170s. Then she upped her regimen to several puzzles a day from newspapers around the country, and in 2004, she jumped to 39th in the rankings. Last year, with more than 450 solvers in the tournament, Stella Daly finished 6th. Now at home in Brooklyn Heights, less than a week before the big event, she's doing 20 puzzles a day.
Ferocious Fishy is a piranha. Assume 6 letters, blank, 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 E-O, blank. I'm guessing that's take on. Name from Woody's past. Oh, Woody Allen and Mia Farrow, MIA. 115 across. Senator Sam is
right. I am sitting here doing the Sunday Times crossword puzzle. Somehow the words won't come. I am staring at squares, but my eyes never focus, and my mind's feeling strangely numb.
The very first crossword was published in the Pulitzer-owned New York World in 1913. As the story goes, the paper's Fun Pages editor, Arthur Wynne, hailed a horse-drawn cab in Midtown and told the driver to take 42nd across and first down. And in that moment, the puzzle was born. New York Times puzzle editor Will Short says that crossword puzzles went quickly from local curiosity to national craze.
What caused that craze? It was partly the rising education level in the United States, I think. It was this wonderful mass distribution system of newspapers and a sense of fun of the 20s, you know, in the roaring 20s. And just within a matter of months, virtually every American newspaper started publishing a crossword.
Of course, the 1920s was a decade given to crazes. There was flagpole sitting and dance marathons, even imports like Mahjong. But for a brief time, says Shorts, crossword was king.
There was crossword jewelry. There was a show on Broadway called Puzzles of 1925, in which one of the scenes was in a crossword puzzle sanitarium for solvers who had lost their minds. The B&O Railroad installed unabridged dictionaries for the convenience of its puzzle-loving passengers. So the country just mad about crosswords for about 6 months.
One puzzle-themed hit from 1924 was titled Crossword Mama, You Puzzle Me, But Papa's Gonna Figure You Out.
You treat me like an orphan in a storm. Crossword books won't keep my tootsies warm. Crossword Mama, You Puzzle Me, But Papa's Gonna Figure You Out. Washington, he crossed the Delaware. Columbus crossed the ocean blue. If there's any more crossing to be done, Papa's gonna double-cross you.
So virtually every American newspaper had, by the 20s, been publishing a crossword. The sole holdout, the New York Times. On November 17, 1924, the Times dismissively asserted that solvers, quote, get nothing out of it except a primitive sort of mental exercise. Puzzle fan Louise Sinclair fired off a nimble riposte in the form of a letter to the editor. I cannot but believe, she wrote, that in this day of looking and listening, of movies and radio, a sport which demands a little thinking should not be utterly despised. The New York Times went on despising the crossword for another 18 years and finally ran its first one in 1942.
Crossword puzzles are really a soothing ritual.
Mark Romano is the author of Crossword, One Man's Journey into America's Crossword Obsession.
For some people, it's a cocktail after work. For others, it's tea made a special way in the morning. So the crossword is a daily presence in my life.
You might guess that the fastest puzzle solvers are masters of words rather than numbers, but many of the best actually come from the math and science fields. You might also guess that a crossword puzzle tournament would be a sedate affair. Mark Romano.
One would expect that somebody who spends a significant amount of their time alone and doing a solitary activity would tend more toward the introvert on the introvert-extrovert emotional scale. So it's with a certain amount of trepidation that you approach your first tournament because you're thinking, my gosh, this is going to be the quietest, most boring thing in the world. Then you walk in through the lobby of the Stamford Marriott and it's like all hell is blown loose.
It's 8:30 on Sunday morning. Contestants solved six puzzles yesterday, which were graded for speed and accuracy overnight. The results have just been posted. Stella Daly, her hair still wet from a shower, wearing a Don't Mess with Brooklyn t-shirt, is pressed up against the lobby wall.
A little disappointed right now. Puzzle five just about, killed quite a lot of us, and me in particular. So I'm currently ranked in 12th place, even though yesterday I actually walked out of puzzle two having finished it faster than anybody else.
After the seventh and final puzzle later that morning, Daly remained in 12th place, which makes it the first time she's ever moved down from one year to the next in the rankings. She'll shrug this one off and try again, the kind of determination shown not just by puzzle solvers, but also by puzzle constructors.
So let's see what we got here.
On the Friday after the tournament, Will Shortz picked up his mail at the New York Times. He receives about 75 submissions from puzzle constructors each week and sifts through them on the train ride back to his home in Westchester County.
Don't know this person. The acceptance rate for new people is extremely low, but, you never know, so I always hope for the best.
During his 13-year tenure as crossword editor, Shortz has published several hundred constructors, some frequently, some only once. Somewhere among that list of names is me. Over the years, I've gotten a few dozen crosswords into the New York and Los Angeles Times. My last puzzle was published in 2004 while in graduate school, which has a way of obliterating hobbies. But despite all that, I'm not sure I could be a contender at the tournament. Speed solving's just not for me. I like to take my time. In fact, unlike Stella Daly, I do it in bed.
I would see a lot of personal ads that said, I'm looking for a woman who wants to spend the day in bed with me, just like reading the New York Times and solving the Sunday crossword in bed. And I'm like, well, you probably shouldn't go out with me unless you want to feel really inadequate, because I'm going to sit there and I'm going to solve the New York Times Sunday in 10 minutes or less. And it's not leisurely to me at all.
Turns out curling up in bed with the Sunday Times is no longer an issue for Daly. In fact, she and Mark Romano and 40,000 other premium subscribers don't think of solving as attached to the physical product of the newspaper at all. Those solvers don't bother to grandstand by wielding a pen instead of a pencil. For them, solving the puzzle has already gone the way of the rest of the paper. Online. For On the Media, I'm Mike Vuolo.
For those of you keeping score at home, in a field of nearly 700 contestants this year, Stella Daly once again finished 12th.
Made me blue as can be, brought crosswords between my sweetie and me. Every night in her little home, we sit together, but I'm all alone. I'm jealous,
How can I win sympathy? I'm hoping she'll soon need L.O.V.E.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Megan Ryan, Jamie York, Mike Folo, Mark Phillips, and Nasreen Rafsanjani. We had technical direction from Jennifer Munson and more engineering help from Zachary Marsh. We also had help from Nadia Zonis and Sasha Evans. Our webmaster is Amy Pearl. Katya Rogers is our senior producer and John Keefe, our executive producer. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. You can listen to the program and find free transcripts, MP3 downloads, and our podcast at onthemedia.org. You can also post comments there and email us at onthemedia@wnyc.org. This is On the Media from WNYC. Brooke Gladstone will be back next week. I'm Bob Garfield.
Support for On the Media is provided by the Bidell Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the John and Anna Maria Phillips Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC. This is NPR.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.